Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well on this 23rd day of November. I have a market update to share with you. This is, of course, a holiday week with Thanksgiving coming up this week. I hope that you have a wonderful holiday and have time for friends and family. Spend a little time with the outlaws, the in-laws. Enjoy the kids, the grandparents. Everybody likes to swap stories and tell lies this time of year, I've always found. It's always fun to get together with family, and I hope you have a pleasant holiday. Let's talk about the market. The market's been really crazy this year. As a quick review, 2014 was relatively flat in that large did well, emerging markets didn't. So when you look at understanding the academic principles of investing, we want to own equities. We want to diversify umbrellas and suntan lotion. And we want to rebalance, realize that the market is a lifelong proposition, that we are going to be in the market the rest of our lives, probably our heirs or whoever might benefit from our life's work upon our demise will probably keep the money in the market if there's any as well. So the market is a long-term deal. That goes without saying when we talk about prudent investing. I think what is important is to understand that the market goes up, it goes down, it has a two-thirds bias. One out of every 3 years is negative. Two out of every 3 years is positive. And we got to realize that that umbrellas and suntan lotion in that picture is the best way to describe what happens in the market and what you're trying to accomplish. And when we look at understanding asset classes and investing as a whole in the global marketplace, there are going to be some areas of the market that are up and some areas that are down. Now, the market as a whole has always hit new highs. I always think of it as similar to walking up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. It's volatile on the way up, but always hits new highs. Back to 2014, we had a year where we had U.S. large did very well in 2014. Emerging markets for a second year didn't do well. In fact, we're in their third year now. And what happened was a lot of the gains that were gotten in the large area were used to rebalance and buy up the areas that were down, in this case 2014 emerging markets. The end result was a relatively flat year. A little bit of growth, net growth in the more conservative portfolios, and then the aggressives just a tad under. We moved to 2015. 2015, the first quarter was very, very promising. Second quarter was very good. We were looking like we were on our way to a prosperous year at that point. Felt like we were on pace to have a very good double-digit year across the board. And then we had a really horrible quarter between June, really August, September, and the market went down quite a bit, dramatic downturn. It was blamed on China and the fact that they're having some turmoil over there economically with their debt, their yuan and the value of the yuan, their dollar, as well as the Fed Reserve's reservation to make a clear stand on interest rates. So it's interpreted by the market and all these speculators that that's a reason to do some trading. Of course, in a prudent, well-diversified academic portfolio, we realize that there's no news that's going to cause us to trade, but in fact, rebalancing will be done based on the reaction of many traders on the news. We take advantage of that. So here we are in 2015, where I'm in November. October was a wonderful month. It was one of the better months we've had for a while in the market as a whole. And we got quite a bit of what happened that third quarter back. So here I am in November, and we got Thanksgiving right here this week. I'm going with the 22nd. This is as of the 20th, it wouldn't be the 22nd. It would be Friday, 20th. It'd be Friday the 20th as of market close. And I'm going to go through each major asset class and just draw a comparison to the last market update, which was a few weeks ago, the beginning of November. Now, one note of mention as to why the speculators would tell us the market is where it is right now. It's not China and the Fed so much. Now it's gone on to the Paris deal. This tragic loss of life over in Paris and the global reaction to that. The talking heads and the pundits are trying to imply that this is rocking the global marketplace. Now, in fairness, it may affect some sectors of the marketplace, not asset classes, okay, but sectors. Asset classes would be types of companies, large, small, international, large, international, small. No, sectors would be affected. Travel, in this case, might be affected some. You know, airlines and people that are going to travel because of the obvious fear that's accompanied the result of this last this cowardice, tragic event that took place in Paris. So, you know, their pundits are saying that based on the concern of terrorism, travel may be affected. And that may be true, but umbrellas and suntan lotion. We're looking at the global marketplace as a whole. And right now, a lot of the confidence, I should say, must be waning a bit, or we would see a more positive marketplace, because the underlying factors seem to be good when we look at the economics as a general rule, without getting too political or going off on one tangent or another. So let's talk about where we are right now. It's fairly flat for the year, negative in some areas. So when we look at the U.S. area, let's talk about the small to mid-size area of a marketplace year-to-date. This is toward the end of November, 11/20. The Russell 2500 is negative 10.10. So it's negative 0.11% or 11 basis points. It's just down a hair. We go to the 2000, Russell 2000, which is small to very small or micro companies. Year-to-date, it's 1.33 to the negative. When we go on to the Russell 1000 value, this is large value. And by the way, large growth measured by the S&P 500, large value, Russell 1000 and large growth are really the only positive areas of the U.S. marketplace right now. The Russell 1000 large cap value looks like it's 3% to the positive. And when we jump down to the S&P 500, not large value, but large growth companies, we see about 1.77 to the positive. When we look to the small cap value is down. In fact, it would be the laggard for the U.S., negative 4%. So what we have is small is down, mid to small is down, and the U.S. large is up. So we're probably about even across the board with those, depending on what the weighting would be in respective portfolios. Let's move on to the international arena. International is definitely down. There's no question about that. When we look at the Morgan Stanley World Index, this would be developed countries, countries like Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, Singapore, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. And it's negative almost 0.5%. So negative 0.5%. And it's dropped basically back in September and hasn't quite recovered totally. It was up a little bit in the beginning of November, but really about even. When we go on to the Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets Index, this is looking at emerging market countries such as Argentina, Brazil, Chile, China, Colombia, Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Israel, Korea, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Russia, South Africa, Taiwan, Thailand, and Turkey. That is the dog of the year. And it was rough last year. It was rough again this year. It's down almost 12%. And let's round it out with the Morgan Stanley Capital International, Europe, Australia, and the Far East. This is an index that looks at the developed areas of the marketplace, excluding U.S. and Canada. And what we have there is negative 3.5% So, ladies and gentlemen, what we see this year, year-to-date in the market update, is U.S. large has seemed to be the bright spot again in 2015 as it was in 2014. 2013 wasn't large, by the way. It was other areas. But then we go into 2014 and 2015 internationally, and they're down. So developed was up last year, if my memory serves me correctly. But, you know, you got to realize, and this is something I think is really important, when you look at the realities of investing, we do know that owning equities is the keys, stocks and bonds, mutual funds. We also, because the science proves that, there's no question about the 50 years of proven science. In fact, all the finance curriculum in our universities includes many of the minds that I'm referring to, the Gary Markowitz, the Fahmas, the French, the Merton Millers, the William Sharps, etc. And when you look at academia, it's pretty clear. It's clear that equities, there is a return, a risk premium for owning equities. There was a risk premium for owning small over large. There's a risk premium for owning value over growth companies. There's no question about that, and it's been proven. And with that, we need to realize that that owning equities and diversifying and owning the entire global marketplace is going to position one to get market returns. To try to imply that the market can be beat is silly. There's no consistent empirical research to prove that out. But in fact, there is a lot of research that proves market returns are there. And if one can get market returns minus what it costs to invest, they're going to be very happy with the risk premium they've received. There's no question about that. The data is extremely and abundantly clear. The challenge is most people have not gotten market returns. The reason they have not gotten market returns is because they have advisors or mechanisms that they invest through that chase the social, political, economic news. And there's no research, there's no rhyme or reason to do that other than emotional spin. So we've got to realize, when we look at an up market, rebalancing allows one to take profits off the table and lock in some more fixed or cash. In the inverse, when the market goes down, prudence dictates that one takes some of the money out of the fixed area and buy up the areas that are down. Now, the challenge is, when the market goes up or down, many of the managers and the brokers and the investors and market people are chasing the market. They're dumping stuff on the way, when it's going down. They're buying stuff on the way up, rather than understanding we should own everything to start with, rebalance, understand umbrella, suntan lotion, dissimilar price movement, the concept of modern portfolio theory, that we shouldn't chase the social, political, economic news, but in fact, we should simply get the returns that are there, and sometimes they are not there. Sometimes we have a bear market. You know, the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. We never know which year it's going to be, but it's historically proven. So we realize, I'm saying all this to make a point, that the key to prudent investing, we realize that rebalancing is a vital component of that. An example of this is often people who aren't coached up especially, and even those that are coached up need reinforced, that, you know, when the market takes a downturn, at that point, yes, one account's balance does decrease, but the value of the account should increase. I know that sounds confusing, but let me illustrate. If I have 100 shares of stock at $10 a share, and because of market conditions or people's reaction to market news, those shares go down to $9. I still own 100 of them. They're just not worth $10. They're worth $9. So then my account balance is down. But rebalancing would dictate that we take some of the cash and buy some more of those shares that are at $9. And what we end up having then is, after we rebalance, we have 108 shares, for example, at $9 a share. So in fact, when our account balance goes down, that's an opportunity to increase the value of our account. That's a temporary situation. The market always hits new highs. But for those people that are reactive and have a scarcity mindset because they don't understand this, or they don't have people that are coaching them or reinforcing the academic truths, but rather using the social-political economic climate as an opportunity to sell a product that might fit that climate, then people make a lot of mistakes, and the end result, they don't get market returns. So, in the final analysis, ladies and gentlemen, as you might be sitting around the dinner table giving thanks for all the blessings that we all have, first of all, to be American, I think that's you've won the lotto by being an American, because there's so much opportunity here in this wonderful country to do what you want to do and be what you want to be. But think about the reality that we all get hungry as we're, as we're sitting around stuffing our faces this week. And I think it would be encouraging to reflect a little bit on the fact that we all get hungry, and because we get hungry, we're always going to have a productive society. Whether it be through the fact that we all get hungry, we get up and go to work, and that productivity is harnessed in the marketplace for all of us to benefit from, all innovation, all new ideas, all the things that happen, all the risk-taking, the entrepreneurism, the steady work of people getting up and doing their jobs every day that makes all the cogs and the wheels come together. That's the market. It's you and I getting up and doing what we do, and I think it's exciting. If you think about an opportunity, even when the market's down, there's opportunities to take advantage of, unfortunately, other people's lack of understanding. Because really, in the final analysis, the market's a zero-sum game, according to Mr. Eugene Fama, and I would agree. In order for one to win, someone else has to lose. Well, if you're simply focused on getting market returns and the most efficient price or cost to do that, then you're going to continue to win because market returns are extraordinary. Unfortunately, what I find is very few people get market returns. In fact, the vast majority of portfolios that we analyze, and these are from every which way you can imagine, red, blue, green, every flavor, we just rarely ever see, I've never analyzed a portfolio that was getting real market returns, according to the academic definition of those. So, if any of this stuff is the kind of stuff you want to learn more about, there's ways to learn it, and we can teach it. That's what we're all about at Financial Abundance. That's why I do this podcast every so often, and I do it as a public service. We don't garner any focus on a profit center or business from this at all. It's more of a public service to reinforce the realities and the academic truths of how simple investing can really be. And if it's not simple for you, if there is no peace of mind, why don't you make 2016 a year where that changes for you, you know, and think about what one might need to do to learn a little bit more. And once you kind of get it, it's not that complex. Once you understand the few right things, then share it with the people that you love and care about, your family and friends, especially children, for those of you that are older that may be listening to this, or have an impact on the people around you. With that being said, I hope this finds you well. I hope you have an absolutely awesome holiday. Friends and family abound. And for those of you that may not have friends and family, I've been there as well at different times in my life, you know, whether you're serving in different areas or just not by family. Do the best you can to keep your chin up and find some folks to fellowship with while you're enjoying this holiday. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, signing off. This is a public service. We believe that you don't need to know everything when it comes to investing prudently, but you do need to know the few right things. So have a wonderful day, and I hope this has blessed you or enriched you in some way, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thank you for listening.